When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms, and this episode is sponsored by Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. I'm getting ready to host my first in-person event for 3 in 30 since 2019. I am so excited, and I'm a little nervous too. Sometimes it's easy to want to stay in the comfort of my home and teach over the podcast microphone, but I actually love meeting the treasured women in the 3 in 30 community, and these particular women are alumni of my Self-Assured Motherhood program. I will definitely be packing my slip-on Kimmy sneakers for the weekend. They'll help me feel confident and stay comfortable for a full day of learning and bonding with the 3 in 30 team and our SAM alumni. If you or someone you love is in need of a new pair of shoes, I highly recommend Vionic. And don't forget that Vionic offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shopping online, you can never be totally sure something's going to fit right. So Vionic says wear them, love them, or return for a full refund. Use code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's code 3in30 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. One-time use only, Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Welcome to 3 in 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. I will never forget the day that I was organizing one of my kitchen cupboards and I had an epiphany about motherhood. A friend had come from out of town to help me do a three-day organizing bonanza on my home so I could clear out all of the clutter and get my home whipped into shape. As a side note, that's an incredible friend. And as we started going through my kitchen cupboards, I was surprised to find that it was super hard for me to let go of a bunch of my cookbooks. I am not a good cook. I don't enjoy cooking, and yet I had a cupboard full of cookbooks that I never used. My logical brain told me that it was fine to donate most of my cookbooks, but my heart was saying, no, don't donate the cookbooks. Someday you'll actually be a good mom and you will cook dinners for your family and you're going to need the cookbooks. I truly remember staring down at a cookbook with a yellow cover as my brain had this internal battle about whether or not I should let it go. And that's the moment that I realized that in order to declutter my physical spaces, I was going to need to declutter my mental spaces, my internal spaces, where I was holding on to all sorts of ideas of what a, quote, good mom is and isn't. Was I going to release the idea that a good mom must make frequent homemade dinners for her family? Or was I going to continue holding on to that ideal and judging myself for not meeting it? Was I going to accept the mom that I actually am? Or was I going to keep pining after the hypothetical mom that I thought I should be? If you've been listening to 3 in 30 for very long, you've probably heard me talk about the concept of decluttering your motherhood in the same way that you declutter a physical space like a closet. And this moment with my cookbook is where this metaphor began to take shape for me. In the weeks after my big organization project, I sat down and outlined the steps that any mom could take if she wanted to start letting go of heavy shoulds that didn't fit her so she could start living with more peace and intention. And those steps were very similar to the steps you would take if you were decluttering a physical space like a closet. You would inventory what's in the closet, then edit what you wanted to keep versus give away, and finally make room in the closet for all the stuff you really love. And we can follow the same process when deciding what expectations we want to keep for ourselves as mothers. But the pushback I often get when I share this concept with women is that it's much harder to edit your expectations of yourself as a mom than it is to edit down your wardrobe of clothes that no longer fit you or that you no longer like. And I agree. This type of internal decluttering of your heart is much more difficult than a physical decluttering of your closet. And that is why I created an entire course that walks you through this internal decluttering process with me as your guide. And today I'm going to share a sneak peek of that course for our podcast episode so you can hear my three takeaways on how to let go of expectations of yourself that you've decided don't fit you. I'm sharing this excerpt because I'm hoping it will pique your interest so you will sign up for the full Declutter Your Motherhood audio course. So give today's episode a listen, and if it's helpful for you and you want to learn more, go to 330podcast.com/declutter to get signed up for the full course. Again, that's 330podcast.com/declutter. Okay, so let's jump into today's episode. Here is a sneak peek of the Declutter Your Motherhood audio course. Lesson 7, how do you delete internal clutter? Hello again, you are making so much progress. If I were standing beside you in your real life closet, I think we would both be feeling serious relief as the piles around us are getting smaller and we're doing lots of good editing and purging of items that don't fit you or bring you joy anymore. In this lesson, we're going to talk even further about how to let things go. Because this is so much easier said than done, especially with metaphorical closets. With the items in your physical closet, you can literally make a decision to get rid of something and put it in a trash bag and walk it out to the curb. The hard part is deciding, but after that, the process of getting stuff out of your life is pretty straightforward. This is not the case with your internal shoulds and the clutter in your motherhood closet. You may have decided that you want to declutter and get rid of the guilt that you feel for deciding to step back from certain church or community responsibilities. Okay, but now what? You can't just pluck those feelings out of your heart and throw them in the trash bin, easy peasy. When the clutter you want to delete is mental or emotional, it's tricky to figure out how to get it out of your life, even when you know you really want to. It can also be hard to declutter tasks from your schedule that impact other people and relationships. It sounds great in theory to say, I'm not going to deep clean the house anymore, and I'm going to hire a cleaner. But depending on your partner's comfort level with spending money and the dynamics in your relationship and roles, this might not be that simple. Doesn't mean it's not possible or that you should ignore your desires to keep the peace. It just means that this kind of decluttering is going to require some ongoing and brave conversations with yourself and with the people you love. So that's what I want to focus on in this lesson. How to have those hard but important conversations. I certainly don't have all the answers, and I don't know all of the specifics for your unique situation and life circumstance, but I'm going to give you some general ideas that have worked for me in my journey to declutter my motherhood. And because I love threes, we are going to talk about three types of conversations that you can have as you let go of the stuff in your internal closet that no longer fits you. First, conversations with yourself. Second, conversations with your stuff. And third, conversations with others. Let's start with conversations with yourself. The hardest person to convince when you want to let go of an expectation is often yourself, so that's why we're starting here. As humans, most of us really struggle to allow ourselves to be different than we thought we would be or think we should be. We come up with a million reasons why it's not okay to accept ourselves as we are. As a personal example from my life, when I was a mom of two young children, I realized that I didn't want to be a full-time stay-at-home mom anymore, but I shamed myself like crazy for feeling that way. I couldn't accept it because, like I mentioned earlier in the course, I come from a religious background where stay-at-home motherhood is idealized as the most righteous choice. I thought it's what God wanted for me, and I couldn't just declutter that deeply held belief like I could toss a pair of pants I'd outgrown into the donations bin. This was so much more complicated than that, and it took years of soul-searching, praying, and therapy before I was able to shift that expectation of myself and find a balance of working and mothering that felt right for me. So how did I move myself towards letting go of this should over the course of many months and years? Well, I had a lot of conversations with myself. I got really clear on the thoughts I was having about good motherhood and where they came from. And I learned to challenge and reframe those thoughts in gentle and respectful ways. In order to examine my thoughts, I often have to get really concrete and actually write something out to clear my head. One exercise that helps me is I make a 3-column chart so I can look closely at my shoulds. In the left-hand column of the chart, I write down a belief about motherhood or myself that I want to examine. In the middle column, I reflect on where that belief came from. I think about those outside influences that we talked about back in lesson 4, such as family of origin, religion, social media, friends, difficult experiences from my life, and so on. And then in the right-hand column, I brainstorm a new version of that belief that feels more empowering and more aligned with my inner compass, not outside influences. This kind of deliberate conversation with myself is incredibly powerful, and you can do this exercise too as you renegotiate and rewrite some of the shoulds in your motherhood closet. It probably won't surprise you that I put a copy of this 3-column chart in your workbook, so you can give it a try. And I want to talk through an example with you so you're ready to do it on your own. Going back to my belief that I needed to be a stay-at-home mom in order to be a good mom. In the left-hand column, under my current belief about motherhood or myself, I might have written, I shouldn't work outside the home, even though I really want to, because that's not what God wants for me. My highest calling in life is to be a mother, which means I need to devote all of my time and energy to that. And I will add that sometimes writing out your thoughts like that is really eye-opening. Like, whoa, do I actually believe that? I guess I do, and I don't want to. Which leads to the next 2 columns. In the middle column, under where that belief came from, I might have written, this came from my religious culture. I was taught that women should only work if they have to support their families, and I had many Sunday school lessons about the divine role of mothers and their responsibilities to nurture. Then in the right-hand column, I could explore some new beliefs that feel more empowering to me. I might have written, my gifts and desires are God-given. He made me how I am for a reason, and it's okay for me to want to use those gifts outside of my home. Or, God wants me to be happy and have joy in who I am, just as I would want that for my kids. I wouldn't want my daughter to put herself in a box of shoulds just because of her gender. Do you see how I'm sort of having a conversation with myself and my beliefs, challenging and reframing them and offering myself some different perspectives? The more you do this kind of conscious thinking about your thinking, the more you will start to choose what you want to believe instead of just defaulting to shoulds that come from outside of yourself. I recently got an audio message from a mother named Kaya who took my workshop several years ago. She told me about her experience letting go of an expectation of herself that was causing her shame, and I loved hearing how she compassionately talked to herself and unpacked this should. She graciously agreed to let me share the audio here, even though it's personal, and I hope that hearing from her will help you as you work on letting go of some of your own internal clutter. So here's Kaya.
So in my mind, a good mother was someone who exercised in front of and even with her children. And I'm not totally sure where that came from. I mean, definitely from mainstream media and culture and having this emphasis on healthy lifestyle and exercising, being thin and all those sorts of messages that I received from growing up. Genuinely, my entire life, I've had a really complicated relationship with my body. And so have most of the women in my family. And it's just not a place where I'm personally comfortable figuring out, you know, what my body needs movement-wise. It's pretty triggering for me, and it's just still something that I'm working out in my own life. So there's a part of me that just thinks, how can I teach this to my daughter when I don't even have it figured out for myself? There have been times where I have felt so guilty that I'm not setting an example for her of daily exercise or, you know, moving your body. But because of the Declutter Your Motherhood workshop, I was able to realize that I don't have to be the one to teach her everything. Her dad is a really good example of how to move your body and do things that help it to be healthy. So she can get a lot of that education from him. And I also decided that we'll probably do a lot of outsourcing of movement and teaching you how to move your body and give it the physicality that it needs through classes and sports, just whatever she's interested in at the time, you know, be it soccer or tumbling or whatever, just something that gets her body moving in a way that she enjoys and helps her to stay active. It's okay for me to sign her up for those classes and have other people who are in a better place with their bodies teach her those things. I can learn right along with her, and that's okay. And to me, that's honestly part of what makes a good mother, is learning along with our children. So that's just one thing that I realized during your workshop that I had put into my definition of a good mother, and it doesn't necessarily have to stay there.
I'm so grateful to Kaya for sharing that tender example, and I hope you could hear her work through the categories in the three-column chart as she talked. She identified her should, the left column. She asked herself where it came from, the middle column. And then she explored a new belief that feels more empowering to her, the right column. Such a beautiful process to hear someone talk through. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Kneaders Bakery and Cafe, a taste of home in every bite. As cliche as it sounds, so much of my life as a busy mom is about making sure my family has everything they need. Breakfast, a snack for school, does their backpack have what they need? What's happening after school today? How about this evening? I'm trying to be more intentional about making sure I add myself into this equation, and knowing that a delicious, fresh lunch or dinner is on the plan for the day gives me a huge boost. When I teach live workshops in Idaho and Utah, I always use Kneaders Catering, and I love knowing that I'm giving the moms in attendance at my live events an awesome lunch. A fresh, delicious sandwich, my favorite is the turkey bacon avocado on focaccia, and then of course their mint brownies and fruit tarts for dessert. Kneaders has tons of sandwich options, all with scratch-made bread that's baked daily at every Kneaders location. They've also got super fresh salads, soups, and even breakfast items. Or don't forget, you can grab a loaf of bread to add a special homemade touch to dinner when you don't have time. You can't go wrong with the homemade, tasty quality that Kneaders serves, whether you're catering a big event or you just want to grab yourself a tasty lunch. Use code 3and30 for $2 off an entree by using the Kneaders app or through their website through May 15th. When you use that code, they'll know that 3and30 sent you and that we appreciate their support of the show. So go to Kneaders website or app to place your lunch order. That's Kneaders, and use the discount code 3and30. This podcast is also sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Today on the show, I'm talking about identifying and letting go of the guilt we feel, especially when it comes to certain thought patterns or things we think good mothers should do. Therapy has been the number one way that I've been able to develop the ability to coach myself through these internal discussions and decisions. Over the years, I've made time to sit down and inventory the expectations that I feel are causing me guilt, and it's been so helpful to talk with my therapist to help me process letting go of those expectations and leaning into my unique strengths. I've learned that harboring feelings of guilt or inadequacy gets in the way of fully enjoying the important relationships in my life. Yes, sometimes hard conversations are needed, but as I'm careful about approaching that, I feel closer to my loved ones. Do you want to strengthen your connection to friends and family in your life? Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3and30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3and30. So that's step one, have conversations with yourself. Now it's time for step two, have conversations with your shoulds. Yes, I'm saying that you might want to consider talking directly to your stuff before you let it go. This idea comes from Marie Kondo, who we talked about back in lesson five. I already told you that when she works with clients, she encourages them to hold each of the physical items they own in their hands to see if they feel that energetic connection inside, that king. But the next step in her process is perhaps even more unusual. If the client doesn't feel the spark of joy, she invites them to hold the item for a few seconds longer and lovingly say to it, "Thank you for your service," before putting it in the donation box. I know this sounds a bit warm and fuzzy and very different from what you might expect from a typical decluttering process, but this extra step just takes a moment, and it's a way to honor the item and what it brought to your life before moving on. Because everything you've owned or believed or embodied has had a purpose in your life and was part of your journey to become who you are today. I actually love this step in the Marie Kondo method because it reminds me that even if you've outgrown something or don't love it anymore, there's no need to chuck it in the trash bin with disgust. We can honor what was and what has been while also deciding to move forward without that item cluttering up our closets or our life anymore. During my big decluttering process with Candy, she had me do this with some of the items that I was struggling to let go of. Those things that I felt bad donating because I'd spent good money on them, or maybe I would need them in the future, or someone I love gave them to me. She snapped a hilarious photo of me lovingly clasping some tennis shoes to my chest with my eyes closed as I communed with them and thanked them for their service to me. My husband Ryan is in the background of the photo, and he is looking at me like I am absolutely nuts, which makes me laugh every time I see it. But this step really did help me to feel better about moving forward in the decluttering process. I was able to feel more peace about the money I'd spent on those items while also gently letting them go. So how does this apply to an internal motherhood closet? I think it's equally important to thank the shoulds that we've held on to for years and to acknowledge that many of them came from good places. We don't have to trash our past or our parents or our younger selves for the ways they pass along expectations that in the end didn't fit us or make us happy. We can respectfully acknowledge the ways that those shoulds served us for a season or were part of our journey or protected us in some way and say, thank you for your service, and then peacefully lay them to rest. In my personal example, when I decided that I could be a righteous mother while also working outside my home, I might have written a journal entry about the ways that my religious culture taught me valuable things about motherhood, instead of focusing only on the ways that it caused me shame and put me in a box that didn't end up fitting. I might have written something like, thank you for teaching me that motherhood is sacred and that God really cares about the work that mothers do. Thank you for giving me a foundational belief that children are a gift and that family life is deeply meaningful. I'm letting go of the belief that there is only one righteous way to mother, but I'm taking with me the belief that God really cares about and sees my efforts with my children. This type of conversation with my old expectations of myself just feels so much more peaceful and empowering to me than carrying a heart full of anger or resentment for the shoulds that once felt so heavy. I also want to say here that I know many women who are incredibly fulfilled as stay-at-home moms, so that's not really what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is being able to identify a should that feels heavy to you, and then when you're ready, and sometimes this takes time, having a short conversation with that should, thanking it for how it shaped you, making peace with it, and gently letting it go. The third type of conversation you probably need to have as you declutter your motherhood is a conversation with other people, particularly those people who will be impacted by the choices and the changes that you're making in your life. I purposely saved this for last because these conversations take confidence and clarity, and it's much harder to stand firm in what you've decided if you haven't really convinced yourself first that your new approach is okay. Once you've done that important internal work, you'll have more ability to lovingly but resolutely talk to your family and friends about the changes that you're making in your life. I want to say upfront that I know family dynamics can be tricky and messy, and that everyone has their own inner closets and personal history that they bring into their relationships. Your partner might be against some of the changes that you want to make, not because he or she is a jerk who just wants you to be a servant, but because of hard stuff in their past that needs to be sorted through. They have their own internal closet that needs to be decluttered. So as I give you some scripts and ideas in this section, if you try them out and it just does not work for your unique relationships, I recommend that you seek the help of a professional counselor who can personalize their advice to your situation as you learn how to better communicate with the ones you love. I mentioned in the last lesson how much therapy has blessed my life. It has been a true life changer. And I can't recommend it enough if you're finding yourself in tricky situations and conversations with your family. With that said, my first tip for approaching a conversation about changing some of your expectations for yourself and for your role as a mother is to share your heart. This only works in relationships that are safe, where you know that the other person truly wants what's best for you. I hope you have that. And if you do, start this conversation by expressing how you've been feeling, what you've been sorting out internally, and why you feel like you need a change. Wait for a time when you're both rested and feeling connected, and then open your heart to that loved one. Use I statements like I've been feeling or I've been thinking about, and then move into some of the solutions that you've brainstormed as well. One of my podcasting buddies, Sarah Dean of the Shameless Mom Academy, often says, ask for support, not permission. I absolutely love that phrase, and it has changed the way that I approach many conversations when I'm advocating for myself or expressing a new boundary. Ask for support, not permission. So this might sound like going to your partner and saying, I've been feeling incredibly weighed down by the responsibility of feeding our family every night. It's so depleting to spend an hour in the kitchen while also trying to manage the kids' emotional needs and help with homework and drive carpool. So I've decided that I'm only going to make a homemade dinner 3 days a week from now on. I've looked at the calendar, and these are the days when we don't have as many evening activities, so those are the days that I'll prepare something more involved. On the other days, I plan to do takeout, cereal, and leftovers. Let's try this for a month and see what we all think. Now, obviously, you probably wouldn't say all of that at once without stopping for breath, but I wanted to give you an example of what it sounds like to not ask permission to make a change while still essentially asking for support. You're giving your partner background on how you've been feeling and a heads up about the new plan. You could even add the question, "Will you support me in this?" But you have to be emotionally prepared for the answer. If they say no or give major pushback, how are you going to respond? It's important to take a deep breath and stay calm, brainstorm together about their concerns, and also stay true to what you know needs to happen for your own well-being. Just as you don't have the right to give all the input and dictate all the decisions that your partner makes when they are at work, he or she does not have the right to dictate everything that you do in your work in your home. As you start to bravely embark on these conversations, remember that it's completely normal for people to resist changing dynamics in relationships. It's uncomfortable, and their initial desire to keep you in the role that they're used to is expected. But I can tell you from personal experience that if you're willing to sit in the discomfort, if you refuse to return to the way things were just because the disapproval or the disappointment of your loved one feels painful, the discomfort of this new normal will ease and eventually pass. We put pressure on our relationships when we start to be more honest with ourselves and with others, but this type of pressure will actually make your relationship stronger and more resilient long term. So what about conversations with people outside of your family and closest friends? Because often the tasks you want to delete from your cluttered life will impact them. How do you approach the woman who leads the committee you're on at church and tell her that you need to have a firmer boundary around how much time you're going to spend? How do you approach the PTA president and tell her that you'll no longer be participating? How do you say no to the friend who asks you to coach a little league t-ball team, but it just doesn't fit in your schedule right now? It's not easy to say no to requests from others, but it does get easier the more you practice. And you can absolutely communicate these boundaries with love and respect. As I've started to be more open with others about my limits, I've found that people are generally quite receptive to the changes I want to make and are grateful for my honesty. I actually have a personal example from my life on this one. I volunteered with the teenage girls at my church for several years, serving as a counselor to the president of that committee. I was in charge of helping her plan weekly activities, switching off teaching weekly lessons, and supporting the girls in their individual needs. It was a big job, but I loved it, and I was happy to help in ways that felt meaningful to the long-term health and happiness of our young women. Well, at one point, the president started talking about hosting a trunk or treat around Halloween for our community. This was during COVID, so most in-person holiday events weren't happening, and she thought it would be a good way to bring people together by having them drive through the church parking lot to let their kids trick-or-treat to our cars with the windows rolled down. This was a really fun idea, but I was in the middle of an extremely demanding season in my work and at home, and the more I thought about helping to plan this activity, the more resentful I felt. This just didn't seem that necessary to me. It wasn't building our young women's emotional resilience or mental health or connection to God. It just felt like a fun extra, and in some seasons, I totally would be on board to help with that, but I realized that I couldn't in that moment of my life. So I got brave, and I voiced my limits to the president and to the other women on our committee. I sent a Marco Polo to our group, and I basically said, "I think this is such a fun idea, and I can totally see why you want to do it, but I just want to let you know up front that I won't be able to help with this one. I'm feeling really overwhelmed with work and distance learning with my kids, and I just have to prioritize the essentials with my church service right now. So while I totally support you in doing the trunk or treat if you think that's what's best, I won't be able to help this time." I will admit that I was nervous to send that message and even more nervous when the president didn't immediately respond. It feels countercultural for women to voice their limits, and I was worried that the group might think I was selfish or not a team player. But I knew I simply could not add this activity to my already bulging internal closet. Within a day or so, the president sent a video response and said, "At first I was really surprised by your message, Rachel, but your honesty got me thinking. I don't have time for this right now either. So I've decided to scrap this idea for this year, and I want to thank you for giving all of us on this committee permission to be honest with each other about how we're feeling and what our limits are in this work that we're doing for the young women. Isn't that such an awesome response? I know it's kind of a feel-good story, and not everyone will respond as graciously when we say no to something or when we work to declutter something from our motherhood closet, but I still think it's worth having this kind of vulnerability and honesty with the people around us. It creates trust in relationships when people know that we will tell them the truth. One of my mentors often says, an honest no is better than a dishonest yes. I agree completely, and I think it's actually the more compassionate way to move through the world, to be honest with people instead of resenting them for adding clutter to our lives when they may not even be aware that they're doing it. So even though these types of brave conversations about the things that we want to declutter from our closets can be scary, I promise you they are absolutely so worth having. My friend, I hope this lesson all about how to delete stuff from your internal motherhood closet has been helpful to you. It won't be as easy as placing your shoulds in a box and walking them out to the curb for the trash man to haul away. I wish it could be that easy. But as you do the work to have these three types of conversations, conversations with yourself, with your stuff, and with other people, it will become easier and easier to build a motherhood and life experience that you love and that truly fits you. It is worth the effort to do this work, and you are doing it. Seriously, congratulations on making it through another lesson. And now go do the workbook pages that will help you take action on these three types of decluttering conversations. You've got this. So there you have it, friends. That is one lesson of 10 in my Declutter Your Motherhood audio course. So if you found that valuable, I have so much more in store for you in the full course. Each of the 10 lessons comes with a really actionable worksheet to help you apply what you've learned. So if you're often guilty of listening to podcasts or courses and never taking action on what you learned, you're not alone. I'm that way too. And this course is for you. And speaking of taking action, let me recap the three takeaways for you so you can actually remember them. As you're decluttering your internal motherhood closet of shoulds that no longer fit you, you're going to have three types of conversations. First, conversations with yourself. The hardest person to convince when you want to let go of an expectation is often yourself. So I recommend doing a little personal reflection and self-coaching as you consider letting something go. Create a chart with three columns, and on the left, write, what is a belief about motherhood or myself that I want to examine? Then in the middle column, ask yourself, where did this belief come from in my past or social pressures? And then in the right column, ask yourself, what is a new belief that feels more aligned with my inner compass? As you go through this process, you will be, in a way, having a conversation with yourself, reassuring yourself that it's okay to make a change. And the second conversation you're going to need to have is a conversation with your stuff. Just as Marie Kondo teaches us to thank our physical possessions for their service before donating them, we can thank our old expectations for ourselves before we move on to a new and different belief about ourselves or about motherhood. Most likely that expectation served you in some way or taught you something valuable about life or yourself for a time. And you can acknowledge the good that came from it while also gently letting it go. And then third and finally, don't forget to have conversations with other people who will be impacted by your decisions. In a connected time when you're not overly tired, angry, or emotional, share your heart with that person. And if it's emotionally safe for you, explain why you need a change. Ask for support, not permission, and remember that when you are doing better emotionally and mentally, everyone in your family unit is better off. So be confident about what you need. Friends, I want you to join Declutter Your Motherhood. There's a money-back guarantee if you don't see serious growth and change in your life after you complete the course. So go to 330podcast.com/declutter to sign up and choose a friend to do it with you because your purchase comes with a buy one, give one buddy pass. This deal is too good to be true, so get signed up at 330podcast.com/declutter. As always, I'm rooting for you. I truly believe you deserve to live a happy and fulfilling life that fits you. And I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.